Welcome in District 42 Representative Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update. Senator Groney, good to see you in the studio this morning.
Good, thank you. Yeah, I had to come in for some other things, so I thought I'd drive in and be in person.
Very good.
Well, brave always, the snow.
Always so, like you when you're here in person.
Yeah, I do too. I always like to be in person.
Substantially better, isn't it?
It is, than dead. But anyway, we all know what the issues are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tyrannical federal government pushing down mandates on us, and I guess what's happening in Glasgow now is kind of scary, too. If you think a virus, you wait till the mandates start coming down from saving the planet. But it's an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
So... give you some updates. I don't know if we're going to get to 33. It don't look like it because...
For the special session.
Yeah, because the governor and attorney general have taken some actions. The governor's actions have nothing to do with what's happening in North Platte with the Union Pacific Railroad and other federal contractors. But the attorney generals would have a big effect, of course they went together with 9 other states, I believe, or 8 other states.
A total of 10. Yep.
10, and had a lawsuit, and then there's another one with the southern states, and then Florida went on its own, and Texas. Thank God for Texas and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start being a Texas fan. But anyway,
they win a few games.
Yeah.
No, don't remind us.
Yeah, don't remind me. So back to the issue. We're waiting to see what the court says. Of course, the reason they filed it in Missouri because they got a better chance of having a friendly judge. The majority of that circuit court is a conservative. It's a trap shoot or a duck shoot or whatever you want to call it, where what court you try to get it filed in, what the majority of the court is philosophically, and then which judge gets appointed the case. And of course, you know, if you believe everything the government says, and justice is blind, if you believe that, you live in a world that I haven't seen. But so we'll see what happens. But I wouldn't rush. I mean, I'm not going to tell those guys at the railroad what to do, but I wouldn't rush with the vaccine. You can always take the Johnson one, and it's a one-shot one, and you can wait pretty close to the December 8th deadline. Now, what I would hope is the UP is management is civic-minded and wants to work with their employees, that if we do get an injunction or a order, that they rescind their requirement from their employees until it goes through the courts. That would be the friendly thing to do. Community-minded and help the community out would be to help their own bottom line, and they don't lose some employees, that they would rescind their order. You don't know. I guess the Alaskan Air...
The airlines?
The Alaskan Railroad did.
Oh.
But pending what happens in the courts, they've rescinded their directive to their employees that they must get vaccinated. So that's where we're at. You know, and the governor still could call a special session, because the reality is this, because of our vague laws on labor... You know, we want to protect the employer. We mm-hmm. have to. If you're a boss and you got an employee that's not working out, you should be able to let them go. But you start dealing with a person's personal rights on their medical decisions, we got a different issue. So I don't know what the UP wants. Maybe the UP is happy for the directive. Maybe that's something they want to do. Anyway, so we'll find out. Is this really driven by the Biden's directive, or is this something that Union Pacific wanted to do on their own? Because a lot of companies have. Most of the big pharma, well, they got to support themselves. It's like a old boys club. If you, big pharma is making most of their employees get the vaccination. Well, making all of them do it. Get the vaccination, and then you hear some companies here and there that are forcing their employees to get the vaccination. It's an ugly. I mean, what's happened in New York about the firemen and other cities, police in Chicago, and then you hear the establishment, the ladder climbers that are the commissioners and stuff, deride these police officers and firemen because they want to make a personal choice, and putting them against the public, it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. We're used to be a free country. We should remain that way. I don't know, we're just in bad times. I was thinking the other day and discussing with some friends, I'm old enough. I was grade school, high school during the protest and the youth movement in the 70s and 60s against the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
What the saying was, don't trust anybody over 30. Well, I was a conservative young man. My folks were. I was with Nixon. I was with the crowd that said, no, the government knows what they're doing in Vietnam. I'll tell you today, I was wrong. I was completely wrong. Those people rioting in the streets knew what they were talking about. And when you go back and think about it, if you were a poor working kid, you went to Vietnam. If you had parents with wealth, they could send you off to college and you could get a deferment. Or if you were certain occupations, you'd get a deferment. You didn't have to go to war. That was never right. But but what I'm seeing today is the younger generation. They're immured with the government. It's like a religion. Anything the government says, it's accurate. You've got to trust the establishment. It's completely 180 degrees turn of what happened when I was a youngster. But because that's where the most grief I get. It's some wet behind the ears college kid or some young professional who tells me you got to listen to the science, you got to listen to the.
And how many of them are actually your constituents, Senator Groney?
Oh, very few and none. None. I got one radical or two that thinks the government is
king and can do no wrong.
And it says it right there in the statutes. If you become a Christian, the book is a little shorter than government statutes. You don't have to follow some
no
rules.
Joke.
But
I've never seen God deliver a chapter in the Bible that was 2,200 pages long.
Yeah.
Now, Senator Groney, we had you call in specially on Thursday to talk about where we're at with that special legislative session. Obviously, things have changed drastically since then. That kind of changed on Friday with the announcement from the Attorney General, who's been in on this fight very much so, and then with Governor Ricketts as well. So, but I think it's still very, very relevant to note where these other colleagues of yours will decide of having a special session or not.
Well, pressure works. I worked on Senator Williams. He wrote an op-ed in the Kearney paper that talked about we trust the government and employers know. One line in there was employers know what's best for you. I think he got a lot of phone calls on that one. But anyway, he signed. He signed last Friday. So good for him. I mean, that's a good elected official when he listens to the public. Some don't. Here's the one that I might write so I can get some more hate emails. The Lincoln Journal Star wrote an op-ed comparing conservatives calling a special session to protect an individual rights to the point that we do not want to split up the American people and identify them by their sexual preferences, that we haven't passed the LGBTQ workers' rights. Well, let me tell you, there's a huge difference here. I mean, huge difference.
Well, duh.
And
looking at it from a different light, too, what is pressing about needing that done right here and right now?
Well, to them it is, the left. But there is no comparison. Nobody's forcing you to identify your sexual preferences when you get a job. To work, I understand the UP, you have to have a document that shows what lot number your vaccination came from, what brand it was, the dates you had it, in order to keep your job. That's not happening with sexual preferences. That's a personal decision, and you don't have to tell anybody what your sexual preferences are, and you shouldn't have to have a job. But to have to tell what your medical records are, to keep your job? There's something wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
A better comparison with the what the left believes is abortion, pro-choice. Management is telling an employee to get a certain medical procedure. Management, which is the mother, is deciding if a child lives or dies. I mean, that's a better comparison. Neither one of them is right. They're wrong. Both of them are against freedom because that unborn child should have the choice if they want to live or die. Management shouldn't make that decision for them. But they don't make that. They compare it to LGBT. And that's an old issue. It's an old issue. Nobody cares anymore as long as you show up for work.
And it has been brought up in the legislature, though. I mean, there's been senators that have brought it up on the unicameral floor.
Oh, it's a bill every year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've fought it and killed it 1 year because our Constitution says everybody's created equal. And when you start saying a black person has this right, so a white person has this right, Native American has this right or their own holiday, and then you start saying that somebody with their sexual preferences, start writing that into our Constitution and our law, that doesn't unite us. That's a house divided.
Yep.
A big house divided. So anyway, which separates us, as Rick said. So, but that's a whole different issue. This is taking a person's livelihood away from you, your chosen career, your chosen profession. That's wrong. Absolutely wrong. But so the fight still's there, and I understand that December 8 date looming pretty big, but. If we'll find out by the end of the week, maybe, you would think they would rule. One of the courts would. Arizona also has a case out there.
From ours, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But it was filed earlier than ours.
Oh, okay.
And so was Florida, and so was Texas, so they might get a ruling. And I was talking to one of in the Attorney General's office. I had a meeting with him Friday when I was down there. I asked to explain what's going on, and it's kind of strange if the judge, that one judge, can rule that this is nationwide, whatever he rules or she rules, or they can say, which most cases are, it's just for their district, their 10-state district.
Hmm.
So it depends how they rule. And that's odd because there is court cases out there where only the states inside that district have to obey that court case, and the rest of the 40 states or so do not have to until it goes to the Supreme Court. If the Supreme Court don't hear it, well, then it stands. So there are different rulings in different areas, kind of odd. But
interesting.
Yeah. So that's part of it. But we're just moving so fast. This is not right. I had a conversation, I won't say who because it was with a immunologist, an infectious disease, and very important individual, about the vaccines and natural immunity versus and why people with natural immunity have to get a vaccination. And it was all over this place. I said, well, but the vaccine isn't reliable. He said, well, that's true. It's 95% reliable. And I said, well, catching this disease is 98% reliable, that you, or 99.8% reliable that you won't die from it. So what's the relationship there? And he never said a word, because you can dispute that type of information. And then he said, well, I told him I was in ground zero here in North Platte with contractors' mandates because of the Union Pacific. And he said, well, I'm in ground zero in the epidemic because I work right in the hospitals. I said, yeah. I said, but I'm also ground zero where 90. I said, you're in ground zero where 0.2% of the people show up maybe or less in the hospital of the entire population, 0.02. I'm out here in reality where 99.988% of the people just are asymptomatic, or they get it and they survive and go on with their life.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there's the difference. I said, that's not science. That's just human feelings. And he had to admit, he said, well, I guess I'm around it more than you. I said, yeah. You're around it more than 99.988% are. And that's who I represent. We don't want to be forced to make
a medical decision by the government. If we choose to do it, we'll choose to do it. That's none of your business. Anyway, but that's...
And having to advertise publicly medical decisions that you've made or have not made is just almost ludicrous.
And just the distortion of the law. The HIPAA law, that's one of the arguments. Why am I having to tell somebody, an employer, my medical records?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, HIPAA says you're not supposed to.
No, you're not supposed to. Or when you apply for a job, you're not supposed to ask for medical disabilities or anything.
Well, but like we said a couple weeks ago with you, Senator Groney, my biggest issue is, look at the railroad, for example. Everybody, in theory, that is employed by Union Pacific after, is it December 1st?
The 8th.
Everybody on December 9th that's employed by the railroad, the general public knows that person's been vaccinated, that person's been vaccinated. It's not our business to know that stuff.
I know it isn't.
And it's not our employer's spot, in my opinion, to pass along that information, make that public knowledge. It's supposed to be our decision. And I think it's supposed to be between us and maybe our health care provider, if anybody.
Well, like I said, on HIPAA, but the thing was I've been trying to find out because now they're going to vaccinate 3 and 11-year-old kids, scaring parents. So I tried to find out from HHS how many deaths have we had in the state of Nebraska, individuals under 20. Can't get it. You know why I can't get that number? HIPAA. So they hide behind HIPAA. What this is reality is a group of leaders who are just covering their own butts.
Mm-hmm.
They will sacrifice the rights of all Americans so that they can claim they did everything they could have done. And then the people who died because, well, they did everything they could do. And they give a damn about your personal rights. It's hang on to your own rear end. That's what it is. That's what I sensed from that immunologist that I talked to. That's not right. If you're going to use science, tell us the truth. And he could not tell me that a natural immunity was not as effective as a vaccine, which we all know.
And there is a story this morning.
I heard it too.
The government is now saying, what was it? If you get vaccinated, you're something like 6 times less likely to get COVID.
No, that isn't what you said if you listen to the actual wording. It said, for those who have natural immunity versus those who are vaccinated, how severe the infection is. If they word it very carefully to make it sound like you're not going to get it. You're not going to be as severe an infection. What they admitted was if you get vaccinated, you're still going to get infected.
And then the other one I was reading this weekend.
But it's supposed to be, you know, not as severe and death.
Out of Israel was you have 16 times the protection if you have, the natural immunity gives you 16 times the protection over vaccinations.
But they won't admit it. One other subject, if I'd like to revert back to the UP, and I'm not downgrading the UP, they're a good business partner in
Northwest. For the entire state, not just our district.
But I'm starting to understand when I first moved here, I'd talk to some neighbors and people would say, well, I said, where do you work? And they, or UP, and they'd hate their jobs.
See an eye roll when they say it.
And they say, because... It was one of a catch, you know. They get treated badly. I mean, they get laid off at the moment. They get taken off the board, and all of a sudden, big layoffs and hire backs. But it's a damn good paying job and good benefits. But so that was the trade-off. But now I'm starting to understand there's an arrogance there. They sent out a letter to all of the people who are contractors to them and said, well, since we're a federal mandate, you may have to be vaccinated, too, because now you contract with the railroad. The big word in there, like all legal things, it's real documented. It talks about this. As a result, there is a new requirement that Union Pacific suppliers who provide service to Union Pacific may be required to comply. May. So they can't force you to do it. And it goes in to talk to your lawyers, so... But if you take that word may out and read the other 10,000 or 2,000 words or whatever, you would think it's a directive that you had to be. It's a good lawyer play. And they're just covering, just like always, management covers their butt. legally. But I guess as I was talking to Attorney General, he said if you tried to read that thing coming out of Washington, the Biden administration, it's all over the place. All sorts of innuendo about who has to do it and who doesn't have to be vaccinated. It's ugly. I mean, the government would even issue such a thing. But so we're wait and see. Maybe by miracles some more senators will sign on. But right now we have 27 signatures.
And need three more, you said?
Oh, no. We did before the... Oh. Now two of them have backed out. Two of them have gotten cold feet. And
But not Senator Williams.
No, not Senator Williams. He's done the right thing. But, the ones who didn't was Hilkeman. If I can talk about Senator Williams, better talk about the ones who didn't. And Wayne hasn't done it yet, and he said he would. Maybe he'd do it today. I'm going to text him when I leave here. Keep your word. It means a lot to some of us. Man's word. But anyway, we'll see what happens.
And Senator Groney, hearing you talk about what came out of Washington a little bit triggered a thought from Thursday when we had you on the phone lines. You and President Biden had a similarity last week. You were speaking to some representatives who you now represent but didn't vote for you.
Yeah.
Very unique position. Yours was a result of the census, though. President Biden's was a completely different result. Yeah. But how did that town hall go for folks that missed it last week up in Thedford?
It went very well. I got it. Very big laugh out of that opening line.
I have to steal that one, folks. That one came from Senator Groney, but I'm going to borrow it.
Well, you know, I'm representing four counties now that the folks never actually voted for me. But it's good to win an election that way. But anyway, they're good folks up there. Mm-hmm. Really good. And Senator Erdman was there and Senator Brewer, and we all shared information about what's going on in the state. There's a lot of things folks want to get done. You know, we want one of the big issues up there is the concealed carry, mm-hmm. constitutional right to concealed carry. And Senator Brewer has indicated that he's going to try to pull Senator Halloran's bill out of committee, government committee, which Senator Brewer, and it's just, and then Senator Erdman's pushing his consumption tax or whatever issue. So, it's people are worried, mm-hmm. worried about their country.
Rightfully so.
And there's a lot of issues, and they're coming at us fast. This whole thing coming out of Washington with the infrastructure bill, and then let's all just stay home and get government to keep sending us checks, $3.5 billion or whatever it is, build back an America bill where everybody's going to get a check in the mail is scary too.
It is.
Biden this morning on your station, Fox News, said they take all subsidies away from coal worldwide, and we're sitting right on top of all that. This county, this area. That's another thing. We had a hearing on Friday, the Natural Resource Committee, which I sit on now, and they brought in all of the public power board presidents. And Senator Bosselman, good for him, instead of letting them send their spokesmans in or their administrators.
Got the top dog there in-house.
If you're the elected official, you're the one who we elect to run the Nebraska Public Power and Dawson Public Power and all whatever. You come in and tell us what happened last winter. And the point is, we're in that Southwest power pool. We're the only public-owned entity in it.
Mm-hmm.
Whole different ballgame. So those other ones are all profit-minded, and don't get me wrong, I'm free enterprise all the way, except when you got monopolies. So they bring in the wind, because the wind has zero cost, and they can maximize their profits. Meanwhile, public power, we own reliable energy at Gerald Sutherland and Cooper Power Plant, a nuclear power plant. Well, they weren't keeping up their infrastructure on the fossil fuel, we were, because it was reliable, and the nuclear. So when that cold snap hit, we bailed them out. We bailed 13 other states out because that Gerald gentleman.
Barely. We had one breaker away from losing Nebraska, too.
But we did it. We kept Carol Gentleman running at whatever, 110% or whatever.
Right.
And we did Cooper, too. And here's the thing. Because we were part of this group, this communal group, socialist group, we produce more power than what we need. We do, if we can get it there, transmission lines. We had to participate in the rolling blackouts because we're part of the group. Everybody suffers. We didn't cause the problem. So in Omaha, they told them, OPPD, to shut their plant down because it was overwhelming the transmission lines going south. Omaha had rolling blackouts. They were shutting their plant down and had rolling blackouts. This is an example of socialism, folks. It doesn't work. You know, cooperatives like ours is, our electrical system works. Elected boards, and it works because we're out here in the middle of nowhere, and free enterprise, your electrical prices would be so high for if you were a rancher out in the sand hills. It works. But now we got trapped into this. I asked a question, what was the highest so far that we've had green energy into the whole system, the whole network? 84% one day, because the cheapest comes in first, and they consider wind cheap, the least expensive, because of they don't take into the manufacturing costs of the windmills. They don't take into effect the federal subsidies, which you wouldn't even have to turn a windmill on, and you could break even just by the federal subsidy by building them. 84%. Well, that's what happens. Then when you get an instance of that's cold snap, we're not ready. All of a sudden it switches, and Germany came, you know, they've been ahead of us on the green. They got carried away, and they finally came in with some mandates that you have to always have at least 50% or 60% always in the system of reliable energy. So they did say that they were looking at that, changing that rule, that there would be a maximum of a minimum of how much on any day or any time that throughout the network had to be reliable energy. But we'll see what happens and what's bad about the system that the progressives, the radicals, are actually spending a lot of money to get people elected to the MPPD board, to these power boards, and they're coming in with directives to management that are pie in the sky. You're going to be zero carbon emission in 50 years, and it's not practical.
Now, Senator Grody, we do need to wrap up, but if there's any District 42 representatives that want to reach out to you, you are working evidently during this downtime of the legislative calendar.
We always do. It's a great 12,000-year job.
Now, wait a minute. You sound like one of those guys from the railroad a little bit.
Well, don't get mandates down there, too. Anyway, it's a mess, but we'll keep fighting on.
Well, Mike, thanks for stopping by the studio. Stay warm the rest of the day and safe travels for you.
Yes.